Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I'm Lon, and I'm so glad that you've joined us to study the Word of God. Now, let's take a moment or two to quiet our hearts before the Lord and get ready to study His Word. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just take a moment and say, Lord, prepare my heart to hear your word today. Prepare my heart to open myself up to you and to the truth of your word. Lord, forgive me for my sins of this past week and cleanse me and make me ready to sit at your feet and learn. Let's take a moment and do that. Thank you, Lord, for your excellent word. And we pray today as we study it that our hearts would be malleable and soft and open to you, Lord, that we might not be like the Israelites in the wilderness who were stiff-necked, but that, Lord, rather we might be completely soft and ready for the Word of God to take root in our hearts. And we commit our time in the Word of God to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And since we just had the inauguration this past week of a new president and vice president, let's take a moment and pray for them in our nation. And Father, we want to thank you for the fact that you are sovereign over our nation and every event on this earth. And so, Lord, as we're instructed in the Bible, we pray for our new president, Mr. Biden, and we pray for our new vice president, Ms. Kamala, that you would, Lord, guide them and direct them to make decisions that are good for our nation and good for our world and good for the American people. And, Lord, preserve peace in our land and around the world, that the gospel may spread more effectively. And these things we pray in obedience to you, as you've instructed us to do in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're ready now to study the Word of God. And I want to say one preliminary thing. And that is, last week we talked about trying to be like the Good Samaritan. In the weeks before that, we talked about fighting off the devil, resisting him with the name of Jesus. And we talked about trying to be a genuine disciple of Christ, not just a follower. And many other things like that that we've talked about, and forgiving people who have hurt us. And I just want to reiterate, because I say it in each message, but maybe it gets lost in the volume of what I say, that we can only do these things by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Christian life is a supernatural life, and that has to be lived by the supernatural power of the supernatural Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that later in this series. We're going to have a whole message on that when we get to John's Gospel and talk about God giving us the Holy Spirit. But until we get there, I just want to reiterate that I want you to understand that anything that I share with you that we should be doing, it's always with the understanding that we can only do it by crying out to the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord Jesus, please fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can try to treat my neighbor like the Good Samaritan. Produce compassion, Lord, in me for my fellow man. Lord, give me the power to forgive. Give me the power, Lord, to resist the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit, and on and on and on. As kind of like a preview of what we're going to get to when we get there, let me just read to you from Romans chapter 7. And here's what it says. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, of course, writing. And here's what Paul says. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Paul's saying, I want to do good, but in my flesh I can't. I don't know how to do it in my flesh. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I don't want to do, that I practice. Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my sin nature, in this body. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death that won't do right? Now, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. That's who delivers us. Anyway, my point here is that we all face the same problem where we, in our mind, we say, yes, I want to be like the Good Samaritan. Yes, I want to be a disciple. And then in our flesh, we can't carry it out. And that's why we need to cry out to God and say, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, help me do this. And this is why living with the Holy Spirit full in our life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is so important. And how do we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit fills our life whenever our sin is all confessed and things are clean between us and the Lord. You don't have to do anything as a believer for the Holy Spirit to fill you. He will fill you naturally. But when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. And so we have to confess that sin and ask God to forgive us. All day long, not just when we come home at night, before we go to bed. You know the old PlayStation football game where you would try to kick off and it had this little thermometer that would go up and down and up and down, and you had to time your kickoff with the thermometer when it was at the top. I used to play this with my boys, and I would always miss it and end up kicking off when the thermometer was down and the ball would go ding, 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 ding down the field about 10 yards, and they thought this was hysterical, that I was so poorly hand-eye coordinated. But this is kind of how it is with the filling of the Holy Spirit. When things are clean between us and God, the thermometer is at the top, and we're living in the power of the Spirit. Whether we fully realize it or not as we go through our daily routine, yes, we are. When we sin during our daily walk, we say something we shouldn't say. We gossip. We curse. We look at a woman or a man the wrong way. We lie, whatever it is, the thermometer goes down because we quench the Holy Spirit. And so right then and there, we need to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so then we fill back up with the Holy Spirit. So remember, repentance is not just for unbelievers. Repentance is an everyday, every moment activity for every person who believes in Jesus. Momentary, daily, weekly, monthly repentance is part of the Christian life. Okay, now having said all of that, it's time to jump into our passage. And our passage is again this week a very familiar passage. And we're in Luke's gospel. We're going back to Matthew's gospel. We're in Luke's gospel right now, filling in some of the things that Matthew's gospel at this time frame, as Jesus gets ready to go to Jerusalem, that Matthew's gospel doesn't include. So, are you ready? And what are we going to do now? We're going to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and what? Nothing but the Bible, and then we're going to apply it to our life. So here we go. We're in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus, of course, as we talked about last week, has just told the story of the Good Samaritan. And now verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went along towards Jerusalem that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, Martha and Mary, we know these women from John chapter 11, from Lazarus. These were the sisters of Lazarus who was raised from the dead in John chapter 11, that great chapter where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the person who believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? And she said, yes, I believe it. And so this is Mary and Martha. who lived in Bethany. And so Jesus is in their house, and this is the same Mary who washed Jesus' feet with her hair back in Luke chapter 7. Look back in Luke chapter 7, if you would, with me. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, a prostitute, most likely, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. How do we know that this was Mary? Well, because in John chapter 11, verse 2, it says that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, that this Mary was the one who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. So she apparently lived a sinful life of great proportions, and then she came to Christ, and she was so grateful to him for forgiving her sins that this is what she did. Okay, so he comes into their house, Mary and Martha, and Mary sits down at Jesus' feet to listen to him teach the word of God to his disciples. Remember, she didn't get to hear this on a daily basis. This was a tremendous treat for her to hear Jesus teaching. She didn't travel with him everywhere he went like the disciples did and got to hear him every day. So this is a huge bonus, and she just didn't want to miss it. So she's sitting there at his feet, and watch. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. She was preparing food and bringing it out and preparing everything for a meal for Jesus and his 12 disciples. I mean, this is like a big group of people to come into your house for you to feed and take care of. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha's not happy that she is doing all the cooking and doing all the preparing and doing all the serving and cleaning up the dishes and doing all of this. And Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying listening to him teach the word and speak the word. And so she comes to Jesus and says, Lord, make her help me. And look what Jesus says. I love this. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Can't you just see Jesus say, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And he doesn't say that's bad, what she's doing. But he says, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now, what's Jesus mean by that? Well, what he's saying is that Mary has chosen above everything else that might need to be done, she's chosen to sit and spend time with Jesus. She's chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and soak up his word as he's giving it out. She's chosen the spiritual side of things, while Martha's been totally busy with the human, earthly side of things. And it wasn't that the food she was serving was bad or that there wasn't a need for maybe them to get a wet rag to wipe their hands and their face after traveling or to clean up the dishes. I mean, these are all great things. But Jesus said, you know, one thing is needful above everything else, Martha, and that's the spiritual side. And that's what Mary's chosen, and it'll never be taken from her. Now, this is the end of our passage, but we want to stop now. We want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? You ready? Okay, here we go now. Come on. One, two, three. So, what? Yeah. And I got an email this week from a gentleman who lives in New York. And he says, I love listening to your messages, and thank you so much for the teaching the word. He said, and I'm a Honeymooners fan, you know, with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney and, you know, the Honeymooners. And he said, I love it when you say what Jackie said. He said, I love that. So for you in New York, you, the wonderful gentleman, and for everybody else, here we go. Say it with me. Ready? Come on now. You know what it is that Jackie always said. Come on. How what? How sweet it is. Yeah, that's right. How sweet it is to be studying the Word of God today, and how sweet it is for me to be able to have the privilege of teaching it to us. Okay, now, what difference does what happened with Mary and Martha make in your life and my life? Well, I believe it makes a big difference, because I believe Jesus is instructing us as his followers about the priorities for our life. You know, many things to us seem needful, and I'm not saying they're not needful. Let's just look at some examples. If you're a wife and a mother, I mean, doing the laundry for your family is needful. Keeping the house clean for your family is needful. Preparing meals for your family is needful. Going to the store and shopping for food and other things is needful. Disciplining your children, if you're a mom or a dad, is needful. These things are all needful. If you're an employee, getting that report in on time is needful. Being able to complete your work assignments on time is needful. And if you're a student, getting your papers in on time is needful. And studying for your test and being ready for your exams is needful. I mean, folks, there are so many needful things. Changing the oil in our cars is needful. I remember I had a friend in seminary who never changed the oil in his car. I don't know why. Maybe he didn't know he was supposed to. But he never ever changed the oil in his car. And the way I know that is because he was driving one day and his engine just completely froze up and stopped. And when he had it towed and the guy at the repair shop looked at it, he said, when was the last time you changed your oil? And the guy, my friend goes, change the oil? I don't know. Am I supposed to change the oil? The engine just froze. I mean, literally just froze up and stopped and wouldn't even turn over. Changing your oil is needful. So there are a lot of needful things in the world, folks. We know that. But Jesus is teaching us here that of everything in the world that's needful, feeding the spiritual side of our life is the most needful. Developing and accentuating the spiritual side of our life, like Mary did sitting at the feet of Jesus, is the most needful thing and will never be taken from us. Now, one of the things that being cognizant and aware of how much is needful in our world on the human level, one thing that does is that produces stress in our life, and it gets us, we have an agenda to get all of that done, and it gets us distracted and moving fast to try to accomplish all of this work that we know is needful. And if we're not careful, it is so easy to let the spiritual side of our life simply go, to let it atrophy. We don't mean to do that, but it's just under the crush of all of the things that are needful, we get so focused on that and become so frenzied with that we just run out of time, or we just don't carve out an opportunity to feed the spiritual side of our life. And what Jesus is saying is, Martha, Martha. And we're like Martha so often. I'm like Martha so often, where I'm completely consumed with all these human things that are important for me to do. I'm a doer. And Jesus says, Lon, Lon, I know that you are cumbered about so many things, but only one thing is really needful, is the most important thing, and that is the spiritual side of your life, son. Now you, where's the time you're making for that? Where's the time that you are setting aside for that? And look, I admit openly, folks, this is a problem for me. I wake up in the morning and I hit the ground with my feet running. I've already got in my head the things that have got to get done today, the emails I've got to send, the thank you notes I've got to write for people, getting my exercise in, which is very important to keep my heart healthy after my surgery. All these things that I've got in my mind when I wake up, and I'm just like, okay, got to get all these things in. But when do I feed the spiritual side of my life? Well, everybody, my friends, has a tendency to get caught up in these needful things. I bet you do. And we've got to stop and say, all right, but I've got to carve out the one thing that's most needful. And that is what Mary did. And that is sit at the feet of Jesus, figuratively speaking. Sit at the feet of his word. Pray and be at his feet through prayer. And make sure that I've taken care of the most needful thing. And that's just a matter of discipline and prioritizing. Now, it'll be different for all of us. Some people will do this in the morning. Some people will do this at night. Some people will do this at lunch. When I was working for the Good News Mission as a very young believer, what I would do is I took lunch by myself every day, and that's when I had my Bible study. I had my food and my Bible, and for a half an hour, I did nothing but study the Bible sitting there and eating my tuna fish sandwich. And then I had prayer time because it was best for my schedule. I had prayer time in the evening. After I had eaten dinner and went in my room and I was by myself. There's no magical formula as to when we do this, but it's just important that we do this. And don't allow the spiritual side of our life to atrophy. Even as a pastor, I had to be very careful that my Bible reading was not just limited to sermon preparation, but that I also had my personal private time where I wasn't trying to prepare a sermon. I was just opening my heart and saying, speak to me, Lord. Okay, I think I've made the point. So I just want to challenge you and me to take a look at our schedules and say, when am I being Mary in my daily schedule? Oh, I'm being Martha. I'm definitely being Martha. There's not a problem with that. But when am I being Mary and sitting at the feet of Jesus with his word and in prayer? Folks, if that's haphazard in your life, which it's easy to be, we need to fix that. We'll get more done as with the Martha side of our life if we take time for the Mary side. It may look like I don't have time for that. No, my friends, the truth is you and I don't have time not to do that. And the Lord will make it up. We'll get more done on the Martha side if we make sure we get the Mary side in. Okay, let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's take a moment and talk to the Lord. And if the spiritual side of your life needs resuscitation and re-emphasis, then let's make a commitment before the Lord that with his help, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to set that spiritual time aside and to keep that time, no matter how much Martha things we've got to do. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us for being Martha, Martha so much that we can easily neglect being Mary. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, to understand that the spiritual side of our life and feeding that with your word and in prayer is the most needful part of our life. And help us not to get so caught up in being Martha that we neglect being Mary. Lord Jesus, use your word today to reprioritize our lives if that's necessary. And now, Lord, I want to close my prayer with the great prayer that Aaron, the high priest, prayed for the people of Israel. You told him to pray this way. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yair Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. Yisad Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord turn his face towards you, and may he give you peace. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. And everybody said, amen. Okie dokie. Well, thank you for joining us this week for Live with Lon. And let me just remind you, I talked to my partner in Israel who lives in Jerusalem just on the phone over the weekend, and everything is a go for our April trip. So if you've been cloistered with this pandemic and you're sick of being in your house and you're ready to go and travel, there's no better place than the Holy Land. We'll be one of the first groups there in over a year. And everything looks good for the end of April. We're 100% in go mode. So all the information's on our website, lonsolomonministries.com. We've got plenty of room. Love for you to go along with us. I'll be going, Lord willing, and doing all the Bible teaching. So check it out. And some of our people have asked about children. We love to have children along. So bring your family and join us. Okay. Thanks again for being with us. What do I say? God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you next week.